A reading from the Gospel of Luke. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would cure on the Sabbath, so that they might find an accusation against him. Even though he knew what they were thinking, he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come and stand here." He got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save life or to destroy it?" After looking around at all of them, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. So today we in the United States celebrate Labor Day, traditionally seen as the end of the summer, and for many students is marked as an official beginning to labor of the intellectual kind. It is important to honor the sanctity and dignity of work, as well as the dignity of its appropriate counterpart that is hopefully lived out on this holiday, the restoration from labor. We are a world that knows the ideal of balance between the two, but we certainly struggle to incarnate it. For many families and communities, we know that there is little to no rest, and a formidable amount of labor that can seem endless. Often, many in the suffering world do not know where to turn for any sort of respite. In today's first reading of Colossians, Paul speaks of how the mystery of the Logos, the Word of God, was made manifest definitively in the person of Jesus. He counteracted the Gnostics who claimed that there was always deeper and more esoteric revelation that would occur, but revelations that were only for a privileged elite or a chosen group. Paul did not know respite either, for he labored, he suffered in his very bones and spirit, to spread the message of universality that is Jesus, a universally free wisdom, a gift of salvation to all of the Gentiles and Jews who are open to receive. Jesus, of course, as we know, is the one who gives rest to all who are burdened, and he himself has a yoke that is much easier than the yokes that we give each other. And so this background sets up as prelude for the reading from Luke. I have to say that the obstinacy of the Pharisees personally astounds me. I don't know about you, but miracles are not commonplace enough occurrences in my life to the point where the first thing I think of after something miraculous has transpired is, you know, what day of the week is this? There was historical evidence that healers and self-proclaimed prophets were fairly common in Jesus' time and culture, and so that can give a somewhat diluted context to the incredible nature of what Jesus did on a fairly regular basis. But still, the appalling lack of charity evidenced in this passage can give one pause. So, one could ask somewhat coyly, why didn't Jesus wait until Monday to cure the man? Does this rabble-rouser need a state regulation to clarify to him what exactly are the days of rest? And what is a day of labor exactly to Christ? Well, building from Paul, Jesus is revealing in his very self the simultaneous fulfillment and transcendence of the law. The law of love is in fact a law of freedom that knows when to work and when to rest, when to hold them and when to heal them, as it were. It is naturally balanced. It is the Holy Spirit that flowed through Jesus. And if there is one thing consistent about the Spirit's activity, it is not concerned with human convention, but is always appropriate to the actual reality of the situation. Jesus transferred this power of the Spirit to restore the man's hand. And in doing so, I think we can say that he restored the man's heart as well. For another consistency of spirit is that it makes what was broken whole, and it integrates all aspects. This crippled individual ends up becoming Christed. And so, too, are we Christed. Christ is for most of us in nascent form, germinating in us as an embryo of divinity, the God within nourished by the God without. Moving from the legalism that Luke evinces, on this Labor Day, let us reflect on the greatest, most lasting labor of all, the pangs of the growth and birth of Jesus in the heart. For humanity is a microcosm of the created order. All is laboring to birth the new reality of the universal Christ. It is this formation, this germination, that never ends. As Bernard McGinn puts it when referring to Meister Eckhart's theology of creation, to think of a time before creation is as much a category mistake as to think of God resting after he finished his work. The progress of creation is couched in eternity. It is contexted by the eternal, and we are given hope precisely in this assurance that in Jesus we have seen both the beginning and the end simultaneously. In Christ, the victory of the Father's vision for creation is assured. We are given the last pages of the book of life, and we can rest that the ending is good. It is very good. But in the literal meantime, we labor to give birth to the reality of Christ in ourselves, in our societies, and in our global community. We trust that in the interconnectedness of life, that as we are healed and integrated, as withered hands and hearts surprisingly come alive on any given day and in any given moment, the rest of the created world is healed that much more also. We are a womb within a womb. So let us open ourselves to the right kind of labor that can bring balance to all aspects of our lives. A labor that can birth in us and through us the new eyes of a child that can see clearly the appropriateness of action and of contemplation, of work for those in undue and unjust labor in this world, and for rest with each other, and ultimately together in God. And finally, let us rejoice in the twofold completion of God's labor that first brought the seed of God into time, and secondly, the labor of the Paschal mystery that birthed the entirety of creation into the divine fullness. So happy Labor Day, today and each day into eternity.